Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our listeners on Sirius FM as well. And today we are going to be talking about Down Syndrome. October is Down Syndrome Awareness Month. And in fact, every month and every day of the year should be some sort of awareness of the differences that we see in people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created each and every one of us special and unique. Each and every one of us has a purpose to serve. And the aim for today's show is to understand what is Down syndrome, to accept a person or a child who has Down syndrome, and to find the beauty within all of us. There is a very special poem that I'd like to start off with today, and it's actually called the Down Syndrome Creed. My face may be different, but my feelings the same. I laugh and I cry, and I take pride in my gains. I was sent here among you to teach you to love, as God in heavens looks down from above. To him I'm no different, his love knows no bounds. It's those here among you in cities and towns that judge me by standards that man has imparted. But this family I've chosen will help me get started. For I'm one of the children so special and few that came here to learn the same lessons as you. That love is acceptance, it must come from the heart. We all have the same purpose, though not the same start. The Lord gave me life to love and embrace, and I'll do as you do, but at my own pace. While I was reading this poem, it made me realize how blessed I am for all that I have, and how blessed I am for the disabilities that I have as well, because each and every one of us are not perfect. Each and every one of us are born with abilities, with disabilities, but that's what makes us unique and special. And a very special guest today is Angela Ramjas, who is from the Down Syndrome Association of South Africa. She is the executive from the National Down Syndrome Association of South Africa, and she's going to tell us more about Down Syndrome and why that extra chromosome makes people with Down Syndrome extra special. Good afternoon and welcome to Radio Islam, Angela Ramjas.
Hi, good afternoon, Bibi Aisha, and welcome to, and also a warm welcome to your listeners.
Thank you so much. The extra chromosome makes us extra special. Can you please tell us more about what is Down syndrome and what is the extra chromosome that we are talking about?
Okay, Down syndrome has been referred to as a chromosomal condition caused by an extra chromosome number 21, more commonly referred to as trisomy 21.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that extra chromosome is, every typical human cell has 46 chromosomes, with the 23 of which you receive from your mum and 23 from your dad, making the 46, okay? Mm-hmm. Persons with Down syndrome have an extra chromosome. So instead of the 46, they have 47 chromosomes in each cell.
Okay.
So that extra chromosome alters the course of development and also then causes intellectual delay, as well as some physical challenges which they might experience during their years of growing up. So yes, it is a genetic condition. They are not referred to as patients because they do not suffer from the conditions. So we need to address them as persons first. They are first the individual as a unique person, as the, you know, we all are unique in our own way, as you so adequately described it in your opening statement. They just have that one extra chromosome which doesn't make them any less different than us. It's just that they have different abilities than a typical human being.
There we go. You know, like physical symptoms, you know, easily recognizable for children and adults with Down syndrome. If we could just talk about that a little bit more.
Yes. Because of that extra chromosome, you'll see that they have distinct facial characteristics, which is very noticeable when you see a typical trisomy 21. But it doesn't mean all of them will have that feature. They do tend to look like their parents, so they'll have some features of their parents, although one of the most common things that you will see in a person with trisomy 21 is that upward slant of the eyes.
Yes.
Okay. you'll see they have a normally a flat nose because there's an absence of the bridge, and they'll have small ears. They are very small in stature.
Yeah.
So they don't grow up to be very tall people. They have you know, stubby hands. And so those distinct features you'll see is what commonly is found in a person with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
But there is three types of syndromes, right? There is three types of Down syndrome.
Okay, could you please take us through that?
Okay, so the most, as I explained, the extra chromosome number 21, that is the most common one, called trisomy 21. Then we have another one called mosaic Down syndrome. Now, mosaic Down syndrome has both cells present in the body. So some of the cells have the typical 46, and the others have the 47, the extra chromosome. And then we have Robertsonian translocation. So this is the only one that is inherited.
Okay.
So there's it's possibility that if you have this one, that there's someone in your family probably has the gene, carries the gene.
But
mosaic and Robertsonian translocation is extremely rare. Okay, and the features on the person with mosaic Down syndrome is not as distinct as the person with trisomy 21.
Okay, what would be the you know, how would you be able to distinguish between the difference?
Well, the blood test. So
okay.
Even if you have so any one of those three conditions needs to be diagnosed through blood test. One needs to go through the blood test to confirm which Down syndrome you have.
Okay. Now, before we go more into, obviously, to Down syndrome in your organization, you know, obviously, we spoke this week and I got to know you a bit better, and I obviously want you to share with the listeners what an amazing person you are in the organization that you're involved in and what your projects are for the year. But as I've been through your profile and your involvement with Down syndrome, if you can just share with our listeners how you have been involved with the Down Syndrome Association of South Africa, please.
Okay, thank you for giving me this.
You're welcome. I mean, it's an inspirational story, and I know that you're going to move a lot of hearts by sharing your story.
All right. Well, basically, the organization started in 1986, and during the early 70s, there was regional branches already in South Africa that started. The parents realized that there was no platform or group that they could come and share information. And once they decided, you know, there was a need about information on Down syndrome, various support groups started establishing themselves in the major cities of South Africa. And then in 1986, they decided that, you know what, we need a national body to coordinate all the, because now the groups were starting to grow and there was more interest and people wanted more information. So the need for to establish a national organization became a priority, and so Down Syndrome South Africa was established in 1986. So we're primarily a parent organization fighting to promote the rights of our children. My involvement was as a result of my daughter. My daughter is now 20 years old, so we've been traveling this journey now for quite a while. I didn't choose to be in the disability sector. Obviously, you know, having her spurred me on to try and find out what was out there and what was the best way that I could grow her up. Because as much as we want to describe our children as special, I feel all children are special. All children are God's children.
Definitely.
And to attach that specialness on them would dictate special treatment. And I felt that that was going to limit her in the way she was going to survive in this world. And so as a parent, I needed to be informed and I needed to know how best is that we as a family could, you know, include her in our family, in our community, and as well into the wider society. So my involvement started, obviously, when she was born. I joined the local association, which was in Victoria, because that is where we're from, and I became a volunteer as a library assistant, you know, giving out books to new parents, and eventually I became so interested in just helping people that I decided to take, you know, the job full time. And yes, and that is why I'm sitting now at the National Executive Director.
Angela, I'm just going to take you back back 20 years, when you found out you were pregnant, and I'm sure a lot of parents who are parents of children who have Down syndrome will have experienced this. When you found out you were pregnant and, you know, tests were done and you were told you have a child with Down syndrome or you're carrying a child with Down syndrome, or what was your thoughts? What went through your mind?
Okay, I did not know while I was pregnant.
Okay.
I only found out once my daughter was born.
Okay.
And once the diagnosis, well, with us, we were quite fortunate. We received it in about 2 weeks from the time that she was born, so that's relatively quick.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how devastated I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was so devastated. I cried continuously for 3 weeks. Just asking God, why me, why me, what have I done wrong in my life that I deserve this? And you know that those thoughts that go through your head, you know, you
mm-hmm.
and sometimes now you feel ashamed if you think about what went through your head, because as a parent you couldn't make sense of what was happening and why it happened to you.
Yeah.
And so you go through the stages of, you know, grief. This
mm-hmm.
loss that you actually have, it feels like you've lost the child,
mm-hmm.
Because this is not what you were prepared for,
mm-hmm.
And it comes as a big devastation. But I think once you try to deal with those feelings, and once I made contact with the association and I met other parents, you know.
Okay. One moment. I'm sorry, Angela. We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam.
Assalamu alaikum, sister. You're speaking to Ba Ashid from Ashidville.
Wa alaikum assalam, sister. How are you today?
Okay, can you hear me, my sister, from your side?
I can hear you perfectly, my darling. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well. I just wanted to give my input in relation to my involvement in the Down Syndrome Association. Moving from just coming from the township and meeting up with Angela,
yes.
who has encouraged us to form a support group,
yes.
and then belonging to the Tshwane Down Syndrome Association and moving into being one of the NEC members for the Down Syndrome Association back the whole of South Africa.
Oh, that is fantastic.
It has been, inshallah, it's been a very great, very informative journey that I would really like to share,
yes.
with my Muslim sisters and brothers, and encourage them that the support that they are giving us and are
mm-hmm.
continuing to give us, it is highly, highly appreciated, because if we didn't get to involve everyone, because remember, our journey is all about excellence.
Of course.
We can only achieve that if we realize that what is the need of the next person,
mm-hmm.
and how can we assist them? And I think this is what the journey of Down syndrome and being involved in is, being a mother
mm-hmm.
with a child with Down syndrome and seeing my other sisters going out in numbers to understand that it's just a chromosomal disorder.
Yes,
we embrace it, Allah will take over everything, and this is what I want.
Of course, Subhanallah, sister. Subhanallah. I'm so glad that you're sharing this. You know, when you read, so many times when you reading about children with special needs, and
yes.
you know, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala chooses ordinary people and makes them parents of children with special needs, and those parents become extraordinary.
Exactly.
That is what many people tend to forget. Like Angela's, you know, going through her journey with us, so we're going to go back to Angela's journey. And I'm sure you also, dear sister, must have went through that same fears and anxiety to think, Ya Allah, why me? What did I do differently? But you didn't realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was actually blessing you with an extra special angel that was coming to your life to change it in such a way where you were able to touch the lives of so many others through your child.
You know what I've learned out of this journey?
Yes.
Is we are all made in the image of Allah. And once you realize, you can defeat anything in this world. And I really want you now to ask a huge favor from me. I know I'm jumping in, but I'm that type of a mother.
Go ahead, sister.
Once you get an opportunity, use it.
Yes.
I'm hosting one of the biggest events in Ashidville on the 21st of October. In relation with National Down Syndrome Day, which is supposed to be on the 20th, but we're hosting it on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, first in our entire life where we're saying we're doing social cohesion, mm-hmm. we're involving people with mental illness, we're involving people who are on the wheelchair, we're involving people on CP, though it's National Down Syndrome Day, but we are acknowledging all the other challenges, and particularly whether it's mental or intellectual disability or is wheelchair or physical disability, but we're saying there's something common that we've got.
Yes.
And teamwork makes the dream work.
Of course.
Once we act as a team, we can go through this whole thing.
No,
and that's
definitely.
What I want to share with you.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Sister, thank you
thank you so much for sharing that.
In fact, you know, later on in the program, I was going to be talking to Angela about other projects that you have in the pipeline to create Down syndrome awareness, but I'm glad that you've brought this up. Angela is going to give us some more detail on all the projects that you have to create Down syndrome awareness. I mean, the purpose of this program is to educate and empower communities, families, and the future generation on acceptance, on love, on the understanding that the person next to you is not actually their different.
Yes, absolutely.
They're so different. They just work in it. They work at their own pace.
Yes.
They realize that they are not there yet, but it doesn't mean they'll never be there.
Absolutely.
And why we don't say yes, we know we're getting the journey done.
Definitely.
I'm so passionate about this. I'm so lucky to be a mother that can advocate for children with Down syndrome.
And
it doesn't have to be my own child, but I'm blessed beyond measure just to be given this opportunity.
Subhanallah, sister. Like I told you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses special parents and makes them extraordinary because you are blessed with a little malaika in your life. All parents are blessed with malaikas. All your children are angels. But little bit more sabr, like you say, children get to meet their milestones. It may take a bit longer, but they get there.
They will get there.
Definitely. Keep up the excellent work and the excellent spirit,
thank
sister.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And
thank
I'm
you, Batile.
Really
I'd just like to say something. You know, when
Please
I met Batile about 4 years ago,
yes.
Batile didn't really, you know, she was still in denial. But,
yes.
you know, although she accepted the child's disability, that they had Down syndrome, there was still a lot that she wanted as a mother, you know,
mm-hmm.
she in denial. And we all go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, in the 4 years, the growth of this woman and to see what a positive influence she has been in our community as well as the board both at local and at national level has been really instrumental. She is one of the most phenomenal forces I've ever met in terms of changing perception.
You can write.
And
you
really,
can write.
It's a godsend to have her on
Definitely.
Our board.
I mean, it's so easy to pick up on her energy and her enthusiasm
yes.
and
yes.
the love
exactly.
that she has
yes.
for her
yes.
child and to empower other parents and to empower societies to accept and respect and have love for all. So, you know, I mean, look, like I said, the awareness that you are creating is phenomenal, and our well wishes for you is that it must be a ripple effect. It must continue in this way.
Oh, no, most definitely, yes. I mean, that is one of our key focus, is to spread awareness as wide and as far as possible, to get parents educated, to empower them, because in the end you want them to be so empowered that they can give the best to their children.
Of course.
Because
of course.
Their children deserve the same love, the same care, the same support that we would give our typical children.
Yes, yes. And not just parents, to society as well.
Yes, to society as well, most definitely, yes.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Angela, if you could just you know, go back, you know, when you were chatting about the period of denial or the period of grief, thinking, what am I going to be facing as a parent of a child with Down syndrome? If you could just take us back down, like you said, 20 years ago, once again, please.
Well, as a parent, like I said, you know, the receiving the news is very devastating, and you know, one needs to deal with your emotions, and the blaming game goes, and you start blaming yourself, you start blaming God, you start blaming the doctor,
mm-hmm.
and eventually when you start running out of people to blame, you finally have to look at yourself and say, you know what, okay, you know, God has given you this child, Allah has given you this child, what do you do with it, you know, this is a child as in any other child,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then you... You know, slowly you come to accept it, and then you ask yourself the question, okay, now, what's the life going to be for this child? Is this child ever going to walk? Is this child ever going to talk? Is this child going to be able to go to school? And then you ask yourself, yes, but if you are able to teach, because even a typical child, you need to teach the child. So you ask yourself, well, if I'm going to be able to teach my typical child, surely I can be teaching this child that was given to me, mm-hmm. even though the child has Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that once you make that mind shift,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you start going out and looking for the right information in the right places,
yes.
it's amazing, you know, how empowered you become and how that positiveness is instilled in you, you know, to try and create a better life for your child.
Definitely.
And I'm not saying that the journey is easy. It wasn't mm-hmm. always easy. There was lots of times where we hit huge challenges. But I think when you stick together as a family, you know, and you're determined enough to make a change,
yes.
everything and anything is possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. Angela, what early intervention strategies can parents provide for a child with Down syndrome, for the child to be able to learn better, to cope better with life, with school? If you could just share some information with us, please.
Like one of the key things that we do is, you know, is to get the information out there very early to a parent. So
mm-hmm.
if a parent can get the information already when the child is born, it is so much for later prognosis of that child's development. So early info, so first of all, early identification of diagnosis is very important, because that then ultimately will lead to the right information getting to the parents in terms of early intervention programs. So they would, because of that extra chromosome, they have very low muscle tone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is one of the medical conditions that accompanies Down syndrome. So they would need that intervention. So the very first intervention that the child with Down syndrome would need is physiotherapy
mm-hmm.
to improve the muscle tone, and then also to allow the child to be able to achieve their milestones, their developmental milestones, which is the sitting, the crawling, and the walking.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also then need speech therapy, because that low muscle tone affects the tongue as well. So
mm-hmm.
speech becomes a huge thing that a child would need to go through
mm-hmm.
Because they have very poor language communication.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And then the other thing is also occupational therapy, to work on the finer growth model, because this is the therapy that would sort of ultimately prepare their child to go into school one day
mm-hmm.
to be able to sit down and learn.
Mm-hmm.
So the early intervention is very, very important in the early stages of a child's life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And obviously those the specialists that are contacted regarding this early intervention would also give advice to parents and caregivers of what you can do at home to make it easier for your child to cope better.
Yes, absolutely. One needs to carry on the home program. It's not to say that, yes, I'm involved in therapy and I'll just leave it when I go and see the therapist.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to follow through at home.
Yes.
But parents need to also see, because the other thing what we have encountered is that parents become so involved with therapy
mm.
and the medical aspect of fixing the child, you know.
Yes.
We need to do this, we need to do that. And then in the end it becomes so overwhelming that, you know, you're totally exhausted,
mm-hmm.
that you don't even have time to have fun anymore with your child.
Yes.
And yes. like my child, she began to pick it up. And the minute, because it, for me it became like our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Therapy,
mm-hmm.
daily therapy became our lifestyle. And she started to put the resistance to it, because it felt like we're always doing, just working hard to try and make her better.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and so those learning lessons, the lessons that she taught me is about that I need to accept who she was, I needed to love her for who she was, and we needed to have fun. I needed to be a child.
Yes.
And as a parent, you need to realize that sometimes.
Yes, that's excellent advice. And Shila, we're just going to break for an ad. And
no,
when we return, we're going to talk some more.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, please call us on 011-854-1548 if you are a parent of a child who has Down syndrome, an educator from a special needs school, anyone that is linked to the organization. Please contact us and share your experience, words of positivity, words of encouragement with us. It's all about educating and empowering ourselves. Thank you so much, and we will return soon, inshallah, after the ad break. Is the who is the executive director of the National Down Syndrome Association of South Africa, and she's educating and empowering us about Down syndrome. How can you and I make a difference? Please call us again on 011-854-1548 and share your journey with us. If you're a parent, an educator at a school for learners with special needs, anyone that wants to share something with us about Down syndrome, that is the number to dial. And Shalav, just before the break, we spoke about early intervention strategies that parents can use and or should be doing to assist their children. My next question to you would be, what support does your organization, the National Down Syndrome Association of South Africa, offer to parents and educators of children with Down syndrome?
Okay, so basically for parents, it's we've developed a step-by-step booklet which gives you all the information you need to know about Down syndrome, the medical complications, what early intervention programs you should be accessing, and so forth. So that's a beginner's guide to any new parent. It's got very valuable information in it. It also has a medical checklist in terms of what checkups you should be going at what ages of the baby grows.
Mm-hmm.
So for parents, that is vital for them to have that information.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In terms of educators, we've also developed a special educational support pack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, children with Down syndrome learn in a specific way.
Mm-hmm.
We call them visual learners. They're copycat learners.
Okay.
So they copycat with their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So anything in a visual format is the way that they learn.
Mm-hmm.
So the more visual you present a lesson, the more they're able to be interested in, and you're likely to engage their attention.
Yes.
So for teachers, we have that. And through our associations, they conduct various teachers training workshops.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of educating teachers on how to accommodate the child with Down syndrome into the classroom. So there's lots of adaptive work that can be done on site in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
That the teacher can implement into her teaching lesson for a child with Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of teachers, mainstreaming for us, like, for example, when I accepted my daughter's diagnosis and I began to look at what the future was that I wanted for her.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people would say, you know what, she needs to go to a special school.
Mm-hmm.
And my question was always this, you know, there's no special world for my child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although you might describe her as being special, there's no really special world. She needs to grow up in the same world that me and you are growing up,
yes.
You and I are growing up.
Yes.
And I, as a parent, need to equip her with the skills that she's going to need to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to be around forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want that burden of care to fall on my other children, because life is so tough today. Just taking care of your own family takes a lot out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And to still be responsible for someone, although my children have been brought up that their sister is going to be there for them, that they need to look after her.
Yes.
But as a parent, I still wanted to ensure that my daughter was independent enough to take care of herself. And I'm glad I made that decision.
Yes, yes.
And the decision to go the mainstream route wasn't an easy decision for me as a parent to make.
Mm-hmm.
I was called horrible names for making that decision.
Mm-hmm.
I was referred to as a very bad parent to have done that to my child. But that was the best educational tool that I could have given my child, because there is where she learned the ground.
Mm-hmm.
She learned how to stand up and speak for herself.
Mm-hmm.
She learned how to be able to navigate herself in the real world, because, like I said, there was no special world for her to go to.
Yeah.
A protective world that she had to grow up. She needed to learn how we need to navigate around society today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad in the end it was a difficult journey to take. It was, like I said, a difficult decision to make. But as a parent today, I look back and I think it was worth it, because today she's such an independent young lady with a mind of her own.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Am I correct? Your daughter's name is Tamiz. Am I correct?
That's it.
Okay. That's beautiful. Full name. Was Tamiz, like you say, was she in a mainstream school? Because I know, as an educator myself, inclusion is very fundamental in the educational policy in curriculum. So I just need to confirm, was she in a mainstream school to a certain point or the entire time?
She was in a mainstream school up until grade 7.
Mm-hmm.
For us, the decision not to send her to a high school, we felt that there wasn't really much scope and mm-hmm. the teachers weren't really, you know, skilled enough to take on a child with Down syndrome in the high school mm-hmm. in the area which in which we live.
Okay.
So we opted for further education in terms of homeschooling.
Okay.
So she did homeschooling for about 3 years, and now she's currently involved in the local Down syndrome association in a sort of a skilled employment training program.
Yes.
Which would hopefully, you know, give her the skills that she needs to hold a job in the open labor market.
Yes.
So those are the sort of things if we as a family and decisions that we've taken to equip up our child
yes.
to be as independent as, you know, if possible, to take care of herself, because she wants to do the normal things.
Yes,
she sees
yes.
her sisters and brothers, and she tells us, you know, she wants to drive a car.
Yeah, she
wants to get
yes.
married as yes. well one day.
Yes.
And she wants to live in her own house.
Ameen. Inshallah. The Almighty accept, definitely. I mean, the fact that you know, as a family have made a decision, you know, to empower Tamiz and to make her independent, and she has this passion within her as well to be her own person, that belief in your child for any parent is very, very important. I mean, often parents fail to understand that their opinion and their encouragement means so much as the driving force behind their children's success.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, to me, for me, has been the biggest inspiration that I could have asked for. You know, it's always taken that they're born into this world for us to teach them, but
yes.
it's actually the opposite. To me, it was brought into this world to teach me.
Yes.
I often refer to her as my discovery channel, because every day I learned something new, and I discovered something new, not about her.
Mm-hmm.
About myself as a person, as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that strength that she's given me was what I could take now forward and help other mothers in similar situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest gift that you can do, is, you know, to give of yourself. And I think that is what she gave me, that inspiration, that love to be able to help and assist other people in similar situations.
Definitely. I just need to share something with you. Last year, around this time, I was invited as a guest speaker at a concert for learners with special needs. And I'm just someone who likes talking. I don't really prepare a speech. I go on stage and I speak what I feel that I need to share with parents. And as the children walked in, there were children with Down syndrome, there were children who were autistic, and as they walked in, I was blown away. I had tears coming down my face, and it wasn't like, oh my God, they're going to fall, oh my God, this. I had tears coming down thinking, oh my God, Bibi Aisha, what? You know, your whole idea on life needs to change. And I thought about my entire life in those few minutes as the children walked in, made their appearance through the hall, and got onto the stage. And the lessons that I learned, and I shared it with the audience, was every child that walked in had this beautiful smile. Every child that walked in was so happy and proud of who he or she was. Every child was just so happy to be alive. And that's what we often forget as adults. Mm. We're always in a rush. We always feel, I need to be doing this, I need to be doing that, I need to look this
exactly.
way, I need to act this way, society needs to accept me, what if I don't fit in? And sometimes we forget that, you know what, find that inner child. Be think of who you were when you were 3 years old or 4 years old.
Yes.
Look at a child who we assume, who society assumes, shame, this child has a disability, how will this child cope? But don't look at this child with your eyes. Try and look at this child through your heart and think to yourself that you are the person with blinkers. That child is perfectly fine. You are the person with blinkers.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you need to look at them and, you know, they wear their emotions on their sleeve.
Yes.
What you see is what you get.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And they have, you know, they don't worry about how you look.
Yeah.
What you're wearing. You know, if you're beautiful, they just see the inner beauty of you and they accept you for who you are. And if only all of us could be like them, don't you think we would have been living in a better world?
We would be in an ideal world, definitely. I mean, the greatest lesson I learned that day is, you know what, take time, take time to smell the roses, because the roses are not always going to be there. Definitely. Okay, if we could talk a little bit more about inclusion. What does your organization do to promote inclusion in society as a whole with regards to Down syndrome? You're a national branch, sorry, right? You're the national, so obviously
there's... It's a national organization. I've actually just come now from a trip, a countrywide trip, in terms of we did the social inclusion project, and this was mainly also geared at educators and teachers, because often the perception is that children with Down syndrome cannot learn. There's no way you can teach them, and this has been proven wrong.
Of course.
You gotta get teachers to accept that mind shift, that you know there is something that they can do for a child with Down syndrome in the classroom, because it's not the academics that we as parents are striving for. It's the basic lessons of just daily living that we want our children to live, to learn. And teachers can do this. They have it within them. And sometimes they doubt their own ability.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's just to get them to see normal situations and by interacting with them in terms of what resources to bring into the classroom, parents are there to assist them. They become more willing. Tamise entered the mainstream school, the only condition they would accept her was if we had an assistant to go in with her. And I went in as an assistant. And the minute I did that, the teacher, you know, that was the buy-in for the teacher. The fact that I was committed, I wasn't dumping my child in the classroom.
Yeah.
I was going to take responsibility and I was going to hold hands with the teacher and we were going to go through this journey together. And I think that encourages teachers then to be more willing. It is daunting for them at the beginning. So as an organization, that is what we strive to do, to be a resource to the teachers. To go in there and sort of give them the rundown about how to include a child with Down syndrome into the classroom by giving them the necessary resources. And we do the training to our regional branches so that they can then take it down at their level in their communities.
I just want to take back, you mentioned earlier that, as a family you made a decision that you wanted to educate Tamise, your daughter, when it came to her high school education, you preferred homeschooling, and obviously now she's involved in skills development. Has there been any changes now moving forward, from all this time to now, with regards to sort of higher education from a primary school level moving upwards for learners with Down syndrome?
Very slow progress in that area. Very, very. There's still so much that needs to be done. We have a few cases of persons with Down syndrome who have completed their matric. There's a young lady in Bloemfontein, her name is Sherry Brainard. She's now a worldwide renowned motivational speaker. She's just written a book, Just the Way I Am. Sherry, Just the Way I Am.
Yes.
She's the first person that we know in South Africa that has a teacher's diploma.
Wow.
And in teachers now in special education.
That is fantastic.
So we have a few children that have completed their matric, but it's been parents who have driven it themselves. Have gotten private tutors, and it was done through private schools. The public schools are not as yet accepting of that fact. So finding further educational and higher educational opportunities for our children is still a huge challenge that we need to still address and work on extremely hard in South Africa to make headway in terms of giving our children higher education.
I see. I think in most cases what would happen is after assessment by probably from a district intervention team, they would probably recommend that the child be placed in a school for learners with special needs. I'm sure that is the process, because being in the education sector myself, I would come to that conclusion.
Well, we always tell parents, the decision lies with, what you as parent is going to do ultimately from the time that your child is born. And we found that parents who have really been involved and actively pursued mainstream education, their children are really, they're flourishing.
Yes.
It hasn't worked out positively for all parents,
yes,
that I have to admit. But the parents who have embarked on that road and never given up, despite what was being told to them or said to them, those children are really, the progress that these children are making, the potential that these children are showing, it's an eye-opener for us as parents as well.
Yes.
Because sometimes we even limit our children.
Yes.
We don't even believe enough in them. And they surprise us every day with the things that they can do.
Very important message for parents as well. Because that, shame, my child can't do this. That mentality needs to stop.
And I need to protect my child. Someone is going to hurt my child. You need to protect all children today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. yes, very important. Angela, please take us through the awareness campaigns that you have nationally and regionally. I mean, one of the callers shared that you have something planned for the 21st of October, am I correct?
Yes. Well, as a national office, you know, the team that was chosen this year was called Social Cohesion, you know, your petition, Nick, in terms of that the condition is as a result of your genes.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage people to wear their blue jeans.
Okay.
Okay. You know, that's showing awareness, and then you can explain why you're wearing a blue jean.
Mm-hmm.
So National Down Syndrome Day is obviously on Friday, the 20th of October,
mm-hmm.
but most of our associations throughout the country will be having celebrations on the 21st of October.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more convenient in terms of that it's more parents can attend.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's open up to the public. And, for example, what Petile said is Atterville will be hosting a walk.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of other functions that all the other associations would be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Within their provinces. So a lot of them will be doing fundraising activities,
mm-hmm.
body walks. We encourage, you know, companies to invite a young adult with Down syndrome just to come and speak about what it is, you know, to have Down syndrome and what is that they aspire to, because they want to hold jobs.
Yeah.
They want to earn a living.
Of course.
You know, and then we, you know, for schools to invite parents to come in and, you know, for parents to be able to say why they want their children included in school.
Mm.
You know, medical professionals to be able to understand what is Down syndrome so they can, you know, treat our children adequately when they come for medical services.
Mm-hmm. And also at a reasonable fee.
Yes. You know, so it's across the board, you know, in terms of accessing schools, accessing even sports.
Yes.
You know, our children are allowed to take part in sports now. They're not the sickly children that need to sit on the couch. They need to be active. And in that way, by being active, they don't tend to be obese.
Yes.
Because it was one of the primary things when you, if you had to sort of picture a person with Down syndrome,
mm-hmm.
you would see this obese person.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're changing that perception completely, that our children need to be active, they need to be on the sports field,
mm-hmm.
they need to be taking part in cultural activities.
So it's great creating a holistic awareness.
That's it. So, so that's why we call it social cohesion in terms that, you know, our children are unique, but we're all unique.
Yeah.
And it's our uniqueness that makes this world a much better place to live in.
Definitely.
We need to accept our children for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
We need to acknowledge them. We need to celebrate them as belonging to, as part of our community and our societies.
Definitely.
So, Down Syndrome South Africa will be hosting a breakfast in November.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fundraising breakfast. Obviously, we're a non-profit organization, so is our association.
Mm-hmm.
So we primarily depend, you know, our doors remain open because of public funding.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be hosting a fundraising breakfast on the 11th of November at the Birchwood Hotel in Boksburg.
Mm-hmm.
And we're inviting people to support us, you know, contact the office, purchase tickets. It's going to be a lovely morning.
Mm-hmm.
We have Gavin Sharples. He's a motivational and humorist,
mm-hmm.
who's going to be entertaining us that morning, as well as Sherry Brainerd, the young lady that I was just speaking about.
Yes, the educator.
She's also a motivational speaker. She's going to be launching her book.
Okay, brilliant.
Sherry, Just the Way I Am, yes. So please, tell your listeners to come and join us.
Uh-huh.
I will also be at Jiswas School on the 26th of October from around 1300 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So please, parents, come and get my talk. Let's share information, because it's always interesting when, you know, even though you might think you know everything, when you meet new parents, you learn something new.
No, definitely. We're about to run out the show, so before I do that, Angela, could you please just share your contact details with the listeners? How can they get in touch with you at the South African National Down Syndrome Association of South Africa?
Our website is www.downsyndrome.org.za.
Mm-hmm.
We're also on Facebook, which is Down Syndrome South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Our contact line, should anyone want to call us for information, is 0861
369 672.
We've got an email, which is DSSA, standing for Down Syndrome South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Office, so one word, DSSA office, at icon.co.za.
Okay, thank you so much. Angela Ramjas, we wish you the best in your journey. May the Almighty reward you for the amazing work that you are doing to educate and empower communities and the country on Down syndrome awareness. And just remember, you are making a phenomenal difference, and may the good Lord bless you and all whose hearts that you touch. Thank you so much for coming on air with me today.
You're most welcome. I am so humbled that you have provided us with the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only
through
people like you that we're able to share the awareness and create awareness and empower people. And for that, I thank you.
It's
May Allah bless
pleasure.
You.
I mean, our duty. Remember, like we said, we are all created special and
yes.
unique.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see the magic within each other, that's when we are able to grow as a nation, as a community, to please the Creator.
Absolutely. Thank you and good afternoon, dear listeners.
Thank you so
much. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Angela Ramjas, who is the Executive Director of the National Down Syndrome Association of South Africa. Remember, a child with Down syndrome, a child with autism, a child with any learning disability or whatever disability doesn't make them any less of a child. Each and every one of us are unique and special, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created each and every one of us with a purpose. The difference between you and I is the way I view you, and that comes through my mindset. The minute I learned to love who I am and understand that I'm here to please my Creator, that is when I will be able to accept who I am and see the magic within you and the beauty within you. So inshallah, that should be our purpose. Until next week, inshallah, we will be talking about the etiquettes of attending a Muslim funeral. We will be talking about kafan and the etiquettes of attending a funeral, something that our youth need to be empowered about. So inshallah, join me again next week, Sunday, on Youth Talk. Jazakumallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.